which we can truly confess after we have reached them that we don't go home the same way in which we came. From a faith perspective, we talk about that as becoming a new creation, a time period in which the Holy Spirit comes and moves in our lives in such a powerful way that our souls are stirred or a little spark ignites within us. And some people come into those moments and they feel this great exuberance coming out of it. They feel emboldened, ready to take on new challenges for life. Still other people, when they come into those moments, they leave feeling a little uneasy, perhaps even a little confused in the process. Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus in the middle of the night, he came to Jesus because he had this horrible nagging suspicion that through all of his years of learning, that he hadn't found out the ultimate answers that he was looking for to the questions that he had for life. But he felt that Jesus perhaps would have them. And I think that Nicodemus probably left his encounter with Christ having that uneasy feeling of not fully understanding exactly what Jesus was talking about. And when I think about Nicodemus's uneasiness, and perhaps even our own uneasiness in life, that perhaps it's not always a bad thing. That sometimes that unease is an indication that God is simply moving in our lives in a way that is, and we're wrestling with an eternity that is beyond us. And that during that time period of unease that we are moving into, we realize that something within us is dying, but something new is about to emerge. And we call that a demarcation line. A time period after we realize we have crossed it that we don't go home the same way in which we came. In my own spiritual journey, I think that I'm coming to one of those demarcation lines, and it feels uneasy, but I'm also reminded that even though something within me is dying right now in the moment, I am certain that God is ready to bring something new to emerge and come forward. And in that time period of unease, I ask myself, gosh, what should I do in the meantime? And I'm reminded that even in the moments when we feel like we're knocked low, that we rise by lifting others. Cindy made that painting for me with that quote on it, and it sits in my office right across from my desk, so I sit and I look at it every day as a continual reminder of who we're called to be as Christians, that we rise by lifting others around us. And so what will I do in the meantime? Lift others. That's what God calls us to do. And so we continue on with this sermon series this week. It's called Extraordinary Nobodies on an Extraordinary Journey. It's our Lenten journey as we make our way with our Savior to the cross. And we're talking about a bunch of people that barely make their way into the Bible. These extraordinary nobodies who, if you look deeply into their lives, they had extraordinary experiences with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in the night in which Jesus was arrested, there was a slave who was hurt in the process and who was struck down. And the man's name is Malchus. His name was Malchus. We get that name out of the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 10. They give him a name there. It's the only one of the Gospels that talks about the Garden of Gethsemane arrest and gives him the name. But who was Malchus? Malchus was a servant of the high priest. And you might ask yourself, well, why would the servant of the high priest be sent in such an important mission to go and arrest Jesus? I mean, Malchus wasn't a military guy. He wasn't an armed guard. He also didn't have the authority to go and make that arrest. And so why would you send him? And the answer for me was pretty simple. Is that Malchus was expendable. You could be willing to lose him if you sent him. Because the high priest thought, Caiaphas thought that there was going to be a big fight that was going to happen. And if there was going to be a big fight and a revolution that started, then you wouldn't want to be there for fear that you might be harmed yourself. So what do? You send your slave in your stead. Also, the high priest realized that what they were going to do, they'd need to do under the cover of darkness, that he didn't want himself too closely connected to what was going to happen there in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he knew it was politically motivated. He knew they were going to go arrest a person that everybody knew was innocent. And so he didn't want himself so closely connected. And so who do you send? You send Malchus. Now, Malchus was a person who was known to be, the ears of the high priest. He didn't have the authority to speak for the high priest. He didn't have a whole lot of authority, but he was sent to go and listen and to relay back information to his master. And so Malchus would be sent out to go and check the political temperature of the world around him and then report back to the Caiaphas, the high priest. He was probably, his ears heard all sorts of things in his day and in his role. I'd venture to say that he probably was there that night when Judas Iscariot came and met with the high priest and hatched out the plot to go and arrest Jesus and to betray him. He is probably sent in all sorts of missions to go and seek out Caiaphas' political enemies, to spy on them, and then go bring back information. So throughout his life, his ears were full of all sorts of probably rotten, underhanded things. And then he gets and arrives in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he meets Jesus for the very first time. And there across the Garden of Gethsemane, he sees the man that is the high priest, his master, has told him that Jesus was a criminal, he was a blasphemer, and he was a man that was worthy of execution. And then suddenly, as the arrest is taking place, Peter draws his sword, he swings it, and this man named Malchus gets his ear cut off. And in his pain and all the blood that must have been flowing, and when he looked at Jesus, he probably thought to himself, everything that has been told to me about this man has just been confirmed. Without a doubt, he looks like a criminal in that moment. And I wonder what else those ears must have heard in the ensuing chaos that must have happened. I imagine as he closed his eyes to the pain that he was experiencing, that he would have heard the swords being pulled out of the guards who had come with him. I'd imagine he heard the pounding in his head, the rush of blood flowing from his ear. I'd imagine he closed his eyes to the whole experience, the horror of it all, realizing he had just lost his ear, and what good is a spy who can't hear any longer? And as he closed his eyes, he probably didn't realize that Jesus was walking up to him, that Jesus was kneeling down beside him, but suddenly he felt two hands touch his face. And the pain that he was experiencing, it subsided, and the blood stopped flowing. And then he opened his eyes, and the only thing that he saw was the face of Jesus Christ. He no longer looked like a criminal. He no longer looked like a revolutionary. But what did Malchus see the second time? We know that Malchus, when he arrived in the Garden of Gethsemane, he showed up and he was the ears of the high priest. And quite ironically, the ear of the high priest was cut off. That's who Malchus was when he came. But who was Malchus when he left the Garden of Gethsemane? Because friends, I've got to venture to say that when you meet Jesus Christ, you don't leave the same way that you came. That something is transformed within you. And Malchus had just reached his demarcation line in which life would be forever altered from that point forward. He couldn't have possibly looked at Jesus as a criminal any longer. Something had transformed. The blood that had stopped flowing now was a moment of healing. And the ears that were once so full of deception, so full of lies, so full of political maneuvering, now were ears that were given back to him by our Savior that could hear the promise of life. And perhaps Malchus heard the coming song of the coming kingdom of God. Now, eventually Malchus would have to go back and report to his master. He had to meet with Caiaphas again. And so I'd like to imagine what that conversation must have been like. The Caiaphas must have gone to his slave and said, I heard that you were attacked. I heard that that thug and his other thugs, those criminals, attacked you. But rest assured, I'll send out my men and I'll find them and we'll have them arrested also. But let me see this wound that you've received. I see that there's blood all over your shirt, but let me see you. I can't find the wound. It must not have been that bad, could it? And I can imagine Malchus replying that, sir, it's true. It's true that I was attacked, and this man, Jesus, that you sent us out to arrest, we have arrested him. He's in our custody. And it is true that I lost my ear and I lost my hearing. But this same man that we went out to arrest, he touched my face and he healed me. At once I could not hear, but I can hear clearly now. And I can see clearly now as well. What is the demarcation line that we cross? That we can confess that we don't, when we cross over it, we aren't the same the way, we don't go home the same way that we came. And think about yourself in your own darkest hour of life, in your most difficult, most anxious moment. How do you respond to that anxious moment? Because friends, in Jesus' darkest, the beginning of the darkest hours of his life, he didn't fight. He didn't curse the men who came to arrest him. He didn't even plead for his own innocence. But what he did do is he knelt down beside a man who was wounded, and he lifted him up. And I'm constantly reminded through Scripture that we rise when we lift others in Christ's name. Now, I was watching the morning news on Spectrum News 1, I think, a couple of days ago. And a story perked up in my ears, and it stood out because it was differentiated from all the other normal stories that we hear in the news that kind of are full of paranoia and fear and all these other things that we hear. And this is a beautiful story that I heard about this young teenager, Braden Martin. I'm a 14-year-old that goes to Lakota High School down in the Cincinnati area of Ohio. And Braden Martin's one of those extraordinary nobodies that nobody across the world knows about. But God moved in this kid's life in a powerful way. Now, Braden Martin himself, he grew up as a foster kid and in the foster care system, and he grew up pretty poor. And he was walking through school one day on his way to class when he heard the sound of another classmate being bullied and being picked on. And he knew the kid that was being picked on because, I mean, everybody in that school kind of picked on this kid. The kid was an easy source of people making fun of him. And you might ask, well, what in the world was wrong with this kid? Was he so easy to make fun of? Well, this child only had one pair of pants that he had to wear every single day, and he had two t-shirts that he had to transfer back and forth. He didn't have any clothes really to wear to school. And when you're a teenager, that kind of stuff stands out pretty quickly. The kids get so identified with the clothes that they wear, and if you can figure out pretty quickly who the poor kids are, and this kid was simply being picked on because he was poor. Now, when I heard that story, I thought to myself, oh man, that breaks my heart. It kills me. It kills me when I think about other people being rotten to each other. And I think it broke Braden Martin's heart too, and that became Braden's demarcation line, a time period in which he left behind that days of which he himself was bullied for being poor, to moving to something new that God was making him. Because again, I said, when you meet Jesus Christ in your life, you don't go home the same way that you came. And so Braden Martin, when he saw this kid getting picked on at school, he didn't rush to the kid's aid. He didn't go fight the other two kids who were fighting him. What he did, though, is go home and in this horrible, uneasy feeling, realizing that something needed to change in this kid's life. And in that moment of unease, he decided to do something about it. And he went out and he got a bunch of little jobs and he started raising all sorts of money. And when he got enough money, he went out and bought this kid that he barely knew enough, five sets of clothes, so that the kid had a different set of clothes that he could wear every single day of the week. And when he presented that to the kid, suddenly that kid realized it wasn't just clothes he received, he'd received a friendship. And so what did that boy hear? He didn't hear the sounds of bullying, but he heard sounds of a life being changed. Now, Braden Martin, the stuff that he did was heard, it somehow got out. I didn't hear about it to the news story, but somehow other people heard about what he was doing. And some extraordinary somebodies. I love the song that you picked this morning for our opening music. But some extraordinary somebodies heard what Braden Martin was doing. People like with names like Shaquille O'Neal and Dwayne Wade. These guys heard him. Everybody knows who they are, right? I mean, NBA superstars from across, the people know them across the world. And they each gave $5,000 to this cause of helping this kid's life. But I venture to say that these extraordinary somebodies, the $5,000 of what they did was awesome. But it pales in comparison to what this extraordinary nobody did, which is to go and actually make contact with the kid who was suffering and to lift up this child who had been knocked low. And again, I am reminded that we rise by lifting others. Now, it turned out that the family, they raised $14,000 for this child. But the family refused to accept it. They accepted the clothes. They were thankful for it, but they didn't want to take all of that money. And so what it did now is that it gave this child and Braden Martin an opportunity to both transform. So not only was the kid receiving help, but now he had the opportunity of making a decision to take that $14,000 and go help others. So where they decided to take that money was to a place called Hope's Closet, which is an organization down in Cincinnati that helps out with kids who are suffering through the foster care system. And Hope's Closet is a whole closet where kids in the foster care system can go and pick out brand new clothes that they can wear, so they can feel good about themselves just simply by putting clothes on that they can feel good about. And Braden Martin said he's got a twofold mission for life. He said he wants kids like himself to feel good about the clothes that they wear and to be able to feel good about themselves, to build up their self-esteem. And secondly, he said he wants that the internet be filled up with stories of, to drown out all the stories of bullying, to drown out all the stories of kids fighting, and to have them be drowned out by stories in which people show kindness to one another. And to me, that is a good mission in life to have. And so, friends, I'm reminded we rise by lifting others. And when we meet Jesus Christ, we don't go home the same way that we came. Now, certainly there will always be those folks in life like Caiaphas, the high priest, who think that somehow they're going to raise themselves up by stepping on somebody or knocking somebody low and taking them out. But if it's true that we rise by lifting others, then I've got a feeling the converse is true too, that we fall when we attack others. That when we make our lives about driving people down, we drag ourselves down in the process too. But I believe that Malchus heard the coming kingdom of God. He heard it in ears that were given back to him by our Savior. I think that Braden Martin heard that song playing as well. And he allowed it to transform his life from a moment of unease, of realizing there was a kid who was being picked on, to going doing something substantial for that child's life. I think he heard that song as well. And so, friends, it's my prayer that we hear with the ears that Christ gives us, and that we see with the eyes that Christ gives us, to hear clearly, to see clearly, and go lift up others, all those around us, in Christ's name. Amen. And friends, will you please stand for our closing music?